be a part of the book that deals with these lectures altogether, because Brother Chamberlain is extremely fond of me. His love for me and our enjoyment. We got to know one another through the years here and yonder and everywhere. And Brother Frank Chamberlain and his passing is a loss to us, but a great gain, we believe, in heaven. And to be a part of this book of 2 Corinthians, I've long held the idea that 2 Corinthians and also 2 Thessalonians are two of the most neglected in reading as well as application, because these particular works deal with the Christian life at Corinth and Thessalonica and deal with the activities that are associated with their challenges of their day and time, many that are parallel to the type of challenges we face today. And one such challenge is this idea of accepting God's word in saying that He is the God of all comfort. When we find ourselves looking at God in His way, we see a great creator. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 9, we all have fathers of the flesh and we reverence them. Much more should we reverence God, who is the Father of our spirit, that we may live. God is the creator of us. And through the various seed qualities of man and woman, He makes possible the fathers of the flesh. The idea there is a metonymy. It's a figure of speech, meaning that it takes more, obviously, than just a father. The idea of just a male. But the concept is there explained by the Hebrew writer when he says we reverence those fathers of the flesh. And much more should we reverence God, who's the Father of our spirit. There's something in us that is eternal. It's in the very image of God Himself. And the nature of it is of such quality that God wants us to utilize that spirit by which we live. We find that the word faith is used in the Bible in a great number of places. And among those places in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 6, without faith it is said to be impossible to please God. A few years ago, one of the country music singers set out a song that's been played on radio stations far and wide. And what part of no don't you understand? It's about someone who said no to someone. And what part of no do you not understand? And I often ask brethren, what part of impossible do we not understand? In Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Think in regard to the quality of life that we're to have, in which we begin a journey with God. We labor with the Lord, we follow up with the Lord, we are blessed of the Lord, and it gives us a great sense of comfort within when we live by faith. We live by the faith, of course, as Jude would note in Jude 1 at verse 3, and earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. You know that expression, once, meaning once for all, delivered unto the saints. The idea of it is kind of with along the way with the Hebrew writer's words in Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed a man once to die, once for all. It is the case that that death is going to take place, that we are accountable to the Lord. When we meet Him face to face, would it be the case that we have lived our lives by faith, enjoying the comfort that He has given to us, enjoying the comfort that He has shared with us in His holy word? Or will it be the fact that we meet the Lord with a lot of anxieties? We meet the Lord with a question mark in our mind as to how faithfully we have served Him, and hopefully that we've served Him well enough. But our thoughts are in view of the idea that we have lived the Christian life in such a way of performance. Did I perform enough? Did I do enough for the Lord? Did I do enough for the Lord's way that I might be at His right hand? Or is it the case that I have, through my life, neglected living by faith, and thus anxiety took over? Discouragement took over. Unhappiness became a part of my life. Depression became a part of my walk. I lived in an anxious type of way, and I lived by that fear. Apostle Paul addressed young Timothy about this particular matter in 2 Timothy 1 and 7 and said, we do not have this fear of God. This is not the fear that God's given us, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So many of us these days are living life by that fear, worldly fear. Thus the discouragements come, and thus the uncertainties come, and the lack of that faith by which we could be so comforted and so blessed. I hope that if any are with us today in this study, and you need more particularly this idea, that you will be comforted by the wonderful promise of God. He is the God of all comfort. Notice the promise that is given. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, commencing at verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in any time of affliction or trouble, that we may be able to comfort others in their time of trouble or affliction with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Here's a great promise, and we must embrace that promise as faithful Christians. We must embrace that promise because we've noted already in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In Romans 14 and verse 23, on another theme, the statement is made, nevertheless, that applies across the board. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We find ourselves missing the mark when we don't enter things by faith. When we have temptations that come our way, and we begin to wonder if the decision I've made and the things I'm fixing to do, are these things going to be acceptable to God? Is this going to help my walk with the Lord to be closer to Him? Is this going to help me be faithful to the Lord all the way through my life? I don't know how this will, what the outcome this will be. I don't know exactly what will take place here. That's the point that's being addressed there regarding this message of the Lord's way in Romans 14, 23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's missing the mark. And it's sure missing the mark of how the Lord of all comfort wants us to accept it, wants us to be overjoyed. With that comfort, we live by faith. We live by hope. We're saved by that faith and by that hope. As we obey the Lord in whatever particulars that we see we need to obey Him, we find ourselves rejoicing at the fact we can follow the right way of the Lord. We're comforted by the idea that we can follow the right teachings of God, that we are blessed to the Lord. You'll notice there in 2 Corinthians 1 and the last verse of that chapter, he notes this statement, that by this faith ye stand in Him. How are we standing in the Lord? How are we able to stand and not fall, not be down, not be discouraged, not be traveling another way? The Bible tells us clearly there that it is by this faith. And as we believe what He has said about being the God of all comfort, we find ourselves with a profound blessing in life. You know, when we find ourselves walking this way, we must look at life in a completely different way. Did not the Apostle Paul address this particular thought in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7? When he said, the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Chapter 4, verse 16. And then chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. How many times in life have we looked at things our sight has brought about the discouragement? In the Bible, you think of the people who looked at things and by their sight, it brought about discouragement. Instead of being comforted, the spies that went to the land of Canaan saw mighty men, giants, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. 10 of the 12 brought back that kind of report, to which the majority of everyone there believed it. Joshua and Caleb did not believe it, stepping forth to say, we're well able to go and to take the land. Our God is with us. We're well able to go and take the land. The Lord even used the idea of sight from the standpoint of why he chose Israel to be his people and to lead the Savior to come and be an example to the whole world. Not because they were a mighty band, not because they were mighty in an army, not because they had the proudness of being a battler and a fighter, but rather they were farmers. They were gardeners. They were rearing of shepherds and the sheep. Looked at and despised by others who would take advantage of them, the idea is that they would be people who were not predicted to be any kind of a mighty nation, mighty fighters, mighty victors, and yet they were. And the Lord said, that's the sight of man, looking on the outward appearance. You saw nothing of that. I chose them that they might be my people and blessed of me. And thus he could bless them and did.